sure whether it is obviously you can be part of the member meeting, but I'm requesting for us to complete the financial part. And then the questions are not going to take long, but if you want to pose questions, the sub meeting can decide.
Which one specific? Did you hear what I said?
We can carry on with the presentation and have questions at the end.
Thank you. Is that an answer? Oh, okay.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, Commissioners, CEO and colleagues. My presentation is going to be short. It's basically a presentation on financial management and financial information linked to the ATP as was presented by the CEO. In part, the presentation seeks to be consistent with constitutional principles of openness and transparency. As well as principles embodied in the PFMA, promoting accountability and sound management of resources, and as well as we all know in terms of our constitution, we are requested to account to National Assembly by extension this house. There's been funds appropriated for the 2013-2014 financial year, as well as funds appropriated for the first quarter of 2014-15, for which we are requested to report on. In summary, the contents of my presentation will deal with financial performance and position for the quarter, the fourth quarter ending 31st March 2014. The other component will deal with the same information but for the 3 months period ending 30 June 2014. And in addition, we'll give general financial management information, matters that relates to how we manage the finances generally within the institution. This slide presents a summary of the results for the fourth quarter, where we have been allocated 15.8 million by National Treasury. The full money of the grant has been received, accordingly received. In addition, we have recorded income from interest and on positive bank balances, as well as other sundry income sources. The amount of trust received were 220,000 for interest and 244,000 for other income receipts from sundry sources. And the total expenditure for the quarter stood at 17.4 million, which was above the income that we have received. In this quarter, in the fourth quarter, we were rating activities for the financial year. And as a result, there have been heightened expenditure as we were dealing with exceptions that were recorded, underperformance issues in preceding quarters, which had to be cashed up, and then we consistently also spend additional funds to complete those objectives. So for the quarter in isolation, the net results stood at a deficit of 1.4. But as explained, the 1.4 was spent in most of the activities were done in pursuance of annual targets. So I'm giving this slide as a background for the full allocation, which was appropriated by Parliament. That is, we have been allocated 63.1 million, if you look onto the last line of, on the slide, on the extreme right column, the bottom line is 63.1 million, which was the allocation. The slide basically distributes the allocation by function and by program. Take home from the slide is that the core program, in terms of the budget, consumes around 55% of the COE. As we know, the nature of CGE business is we are service driven, servicing communities. We are dependent on human capital to carry out our work. So 71% of the allocation in general, in total, 71% of the allocation goes towards compensation of employees, in the main employees allocated to do the main core service delivery functions. And my investment, so goods and services, consume the remainder, 29% of what has been allocated. So in aggregate, the main program consumes more than half of what has been allocated. The slide number 7 deals with the overall, just to give a perspective. Again, that budget which was shown in the preceding slide, the overall performance for the financial year is indicated here. I can put a rider to say that the results that I'm reporting are before audit. There will still be a formal presentation on the full annual results, and those will be on the basis of the audited results. In terms of the PSMA and Audit Act, we can't at this point in time report on anything audited. So this is in terms of what we have reported internally. Although I'm extracting from the same annual financial statements that have been audited, I would want to put a rider to say the status of what I'm presenting here is pre-audited, unaudited annual financial statements. And in summary, for the full financial year, we have reported a surplus of 2 million. That is around 3% of the allocation. In terms of our ATT targets, we've got an activity to do with under financial management to deal with budget and expenditure control, and a performance target of not exceeding 5% in reporting surplus is our target. So effectively, 30% is within a tolerable percentage in terms of the ATT. And the key contributor to this surplus of 2 million is in the main monies received from interest income and other resources to around 876,000. And there have been some under-expenditure on vacancies. In the main, there have been vacancies for commissioner positions which were filled during the fourth quarter in January 2014, and there have been some critical management positions which were also filled late into the financial year. And that has resulted in a further contribution to the surplus. The table inserted is a table from the AFS, which was subjected to an audit. However, we are still awaiting a final audit opinion. It basically draws a parallel between what was the budget and what were the actual expenditure. Emphasis is that there are accounts or groups of accounts that have resulted in savings under expenditure, As we have reported, you can see under personnel cost, we have a 4.6 million unexpenditure. That is in comparison to the original budget as allocated during the MTF processes. 4.6, and then basically that money was having gone through the internal budget adjustment processes, those savings have been reallocated to adjust the budget and were utilized to defray over expenditure on other account lines in the main goods and services. Just to provide further details, I think we have also mentioned this in the preceding slides. Just to show exceptions to the budget, this is on income area. The only exception, we have received everything that were promised through the MTF process by National Treasury, and we have had the additional income of 876,000. This slide also quickly puts a brief summary on what we actually spent and what the budget was for the quarter. What we can take from this slide is that the main service delivery consumed 53% of the resources, followed by corporate services at 32%, and lastly the program for commissioners, governance and support. By the way, commissioners are also exercising the oversight fiduciary responsibilities on the operations of the CGE, and in addition they also do work that could be directly linked to the main service delivery objectives of the CGE. They do work with communities, they do deliver core activities. They are not only exercising managerial oversight responsibilities. Just to share with some details as to how we spend the resources at the CGE. One can know that 85% of what we spend is driven by three main components, and those can be explained by the nature and underlying operations of the CGE. I'll name the main drivers. I've already mentioned compensation of employees, which consumed 64%, the actual consumption for the year, 64% of what has been allocated, 63.1 million allocated. And the next one is professional services. We are also a litigating organization. And included in there as well is professional services for expenditure for the AG, external audit, and then for the expenditure for internal audit related matters and the like. So that consumed in total 8%. And the next one, very critical one, is travel and accommodation and related. We are having presence in nine provinces. We do go to communities, we do go to grassroots communities, and as a result we travel. There's an inherent travel expenditure within the CGE operation. Travel, accommodation, we are also doing events, training workshops, and the like, public hearings, and the like, and then those are the expenditures that are classified as well included in the particular line, consuming 13%. Effectively, for the year, we spent 7.8. We had an adjusted budget of 6.6. And the explanations, detailed explanations, have been fully interrogated through our governance processes. This is just a summary of the records that we have on spending within the commission. Having dealt with operating expenditure, which is in terms of financial reporting terminology that is called financial performance, we move into the next one, which also includes financial position. Traditionally, financial position or statement of financial position was called the balance sheet. So on this slide, we basically report that the CGE does not have balance sheet problems, no solvency or liquidity problems. What we owe to people, liabilities, are less than what we have at hand, what we own. So we don't have, as a result, we don't have solvency challenges, and then we are also having cash in the bank, so we can be able to service our debts as they fall due. Another element that we see in the statement of financial position is non-current assets, traditionally called fixed assets. We are having our net carrying amounts on assets is 1.5 million. I think the amount is too little. It's an indicator of the fact that the underlying reason is that we have very old assets whose usefulness and economic value has gone down to a level of 1.5 million as at 31st March 2014. The other element is current assets, mainly constituted by cash on hand. We don't have too many receivables. I think I will unbundle the figures as we go through the other slides. And as well, much more details would be contained in the still to be publicized annual financial statement. In the preceding financial years, just as a way of background, in the preceding financial years, we have been accumulating surplus funds because we were operating not at full capacity. We have had commissioner vacancies as an example. So those monies were kept in the books in terms of national treasury regulations. Such monies need to be surrendered to national treasury. However, there's also a provision in the regulations to say that the institution can always make an application with valid presence for that matter, an application to national treasury to retain the funds. So because we do have challenges like that report that when we're dealing with our assets, that they are owned, they run an economic value, there was a risk to the operations and the like. We made an application and that application was successfully granted by National Treasury. 8.5 million of the previous the accumulated surpluses that have been reported previously were approved for utilization for specific things. For the acquisition of the replenishment of the CGE fleet, the last cars that were purchased by CGE, which are also being utilized to deliver service delivery, was made in 2006. And the second approved spending of that 8.5 million was for the replenishment or replacement of our ICT, IT infrastructure. Our IT infrastructure was also procured at that point in time, in the 2006-2007 financial year. So there have been risks basically of CGE having assets that we've been able to deliver on its mandate. So we are having specific projects to spend this money according to the terms given by National Treasury. We will see the details as we go to the other slides. The last point within the statement of financial position is liabilities, current liabilities, what we currently owe as of the 31st March 2014. What we owe to people was 7 million. The 8.5 is conditional. It was is conditional. We record it as a liability because unless we fulfill the condition, the money will still be payable to National Treasury. However, the net difference of 7 million is the money that the CG owes to employees and third parties. Third parties, service providers, suppliers of goods and services. That's one. The now move to the new financial year, the first quarter results. I've included the three bottom bullets. They are just incorporated by reference into this detailed information that is available on request. It's very detailed. We can provide it. It's available, yes, on request. The summary is that we have, as we are budgeting, because the transfers that we're getting from National Treasury are evenly spread, but our activities are not necessarily evenly spread corresponding to how National Treasury allocates. So therefore, in our plans for quarter one, we have had a plan deficit of 1.4, which will be compensated in future periods. But against that 1.4 deficit, we have reported a surplus of 838,000. And as well, I think we still do have some critical vacancies. We've got legal researcher. I mean, the critical position is also a relatively senior position within the institution. We've got researcher positions which are still vacant, filling them. So effectively, vacancies are also contributing to the underspending. A flagship project that has been undertaken, I think the CEO has also reported on it, is the gender summit. As he also reported, the summit was fully subscribed or oversubscribed and well attended. As it were, it was also, I'm saying the flagship because it was also widely publicized. And it was one of the main spending activities. The CG was the anchor partner in the whole project. And there were also other participants, other partners. The CEO has also reported them for completeness reasons. I will name them again. We had Oxfam, the UN agencies, we had a Department of Public Enterprise, the Department for Women, Children and People with Disability, now the Department for Women. We have had GCIS, SABC, as well as a private sector company, Alexander Fox contributed. These were also partners within the summit. They directly participated in the summit. And their contribution has accordingly been recorded in the books of the CG as well. Going through other financial management activities, I think Section 38 of the PFMA, amongst others, requires that we need to implement systems of controls and risk management, and this is also a reportable sound financial management practice. Effectively, the activities that we undertook consistent with our risk management policies and strategies, we review our risks which are contained in what's called the risk register continuously, however, at least once a year. That activity has been done consistent with the National Treasury regulations. It has been done. The risk treatment plans have been included in the register, and then what happens is that management generally must take full accountability on the implementation of the risk treatment plans, which are intended to mitigate the threats that are exposed by those inherent risks. So management reports through the committee to the accounting officer in the case of CGE, the CEO, and as well for accountability and governance purposes, commissioners, plenary commissioners, and the office of the chair, the executive authority, ask questions around risk management, and they follow through with the implementation of such mitigating strategies, and then evaluate those against our risk strategies and risk management objectives. We spoke about the meeting. Effectively, on the next slide, you can see a summary of what obtained. A teacher, as it were, speaks a thousand words. That's in summary depiction of our situation. The situation, I think, high-level evaluation is that risk management, except for if one looks into the IT, we mentioned about the obsoleteness of our IT infrastructure. It's red, implying that it is above the risk that the organization tolerates or can really absorb. There are a few weaknesses also considered to by management as we assessed our risks. There are areas of improvement within the finance department, more specifically around the supply chain management. We are addressing some instances of ineffectiveness, so that we have highlighted those as risks. But the overall, the risk situation is yellow. The dominant color should be yellow, implying that our risk situation is within acceptable range. However, as we know, because we are managing public funds, what could be acceptable in private business would not be the price high when one is managing public funds. So we are yellow. I think that's the overall picture that I think we are. The other reportable issues, just to ensure that there's transparency, there's also accountability, fraud, contingencies, investigation. We've got systems in place at the institution to enable whistleblowing. And we take reports through those systems. People are allowed to escalate to the CEO, to the chair. There are systems like anonymous call center, which people are allowed to do, and as well as responsibilities of prevention are given to staff in general, but more specifically staff within finance. They've got specific responsibilities to detect and avoid the occurrence of fraud. The issue on litigation, I think, our exposure at this point in time, it has been a long-standing exposure. The CG has got a claim against its former chairperson, a claim for 271,000 money which was incurred on an overseas travel, which was not appropriately authorized in terms of the CG policies. The matter has been disputed in any case by the defendant in CASA, and the matter is still to come through the processes of the court. The second matter that we have is the CG has been sued by its former service provider. Basically, they are suing for the remainder of the contract. It's not for whether they have done or delivered anything. They have had the contract. The allegations from the CG is that are pursuing. I think the first one in which we are the claimant, we are doing everything in our power to pursue and then wanting to close the matter as quickly as possible. And the other matter, we are defendant, so our case is determined by the plaintiff. Absolutely. The third bullet is just a small condition aspect. It's money that could be claimable according to the facts from the insurer for insured benefits of staff. That is basically for one staff member who was temporarily disabled at the time of the claim. Unfortunately, the employee passed on subsequently, but part of the thing is that when the ex-employee was ill, CGE paid for the salary. However, in terms of the insurance policy, that salary is covered. So we are making a claim from the insurer to say that replace this income, because that's part of the policy meetings. So the estimated amount is 180,000. I think the problem at this point in time is that for the insurer to settle the claim, they require information, and that information is confidential information from the doctor, so it takes long, and as a result, we don't even know what is their claim assessment. So we are still awaiting. We are saying it's contingent on the fact that they will receive the information to enable them, but also contingent on their own assessment of the validity of what's been claimed. We spoke about the activities. This relates to the 8.5 million that was conditionally granted by National Treasury. We have this investment activities underway. Basically, the CG has already issued a business order for 11 vehicles replenishing the CGE fleet, and that would come to 4.3 million. These vehicles are practically vehicles that they will deliver or help CGE deliver on its mandate. As well, we have reported about the IT infrastructure replacement. There have been due consultative processes, there have been feasibility assessments conducted in order for us to spend the money effectively and drive in. There have been an ICT strategy developed, a strategy that will also increase, tends to be monitored by commissioners because they are also responsible for oversight, monitoring, but as well by this house. So the strategy informs what we do subsequently. And there's a project plan which is still being processed through the structures, internal structures. But so far the estimate is that the implementation plan for the project will be also in the region of 4 million. So effectively, whatever remains from the 8.5 having spent on the 4.3 on the replenishment of vehicles will be spent on IT infrastructure. But as well, corresponding to that, we have reported that our assets, majority of our assets, estimated at being more than 75% of all the assets, are derelict. So there will be an asset disposal during the course of this financial year. Our old, very old Pentium ones, I think, will be disposed of. We've got old furniture and many more old equipment that would need to be disposed. So basically, the 8.5 will be covering this investment activities. Lastly, this slide basically indicates the path that the CG undertook over a period. There have been particular committee and endorsed, accordingly endorsed, and then we have been actioning on that particular turnaround strategy over the period. And as you can see with the error, I think they've been turned around. We have had, subsequent to that intervention, we have had a qualified audit opinion by the HDSA. And then, yes, subsequent to that, we have been getting qualified audit opinions. The exception on this opinion is the last financial year, 2013-2014. We can't, according to the laws, PFMA Public Audit Act, report on the outcomes until the annual report is presented by the 30th of September. So effectively, emphasis is that we are working the plan, the turnaround plan, we are working on it, we are gearing towards clean administration. The fruits have been bearing, the pathway shows effectively that our plan and implementation has been successful. So we are anticipating that by this current financial year, we should have an audit which does not have any merit whatsoever of emphasis by the Auditor General of South Africa. And that concludes my presentation. Thank you, Chairperson. Regulation
was not difficult for me. Number one is your introduction to your research department, three is your legal department. But when you get inside the content of the document, you start with legal. It does not follow the sequence as you presented in your index. So I think you must improve on that matter. And you have presented the issue of 60 days of expectation, and to me, it reflects on the third quarter in your APP. It should be captured in your third quarter, not in your fourth quarter. In your fourth quarter, your first quarter covers March to April. And normally those activities were highlighted or we are done in November, September, October, or October to December, or November to December. Within those 15 days, especially November to December, your 15 days of activities. So, but you are capturing it now on your first quarter, of which to me does not give you sense. The vacancy rate is 10%. You've got two critical positions in your department, your research and your legal. Maybe just to give a template, when are you intending to fill this vacancy? So that we should not raise questions in the previous, in the coming meetings. And then with regards to your service providers, how do you
that will never reflect our values that we have. And then the other thing that I wanted to raise was we are a United Democratic South Africa. And that United Democratic South Africa in a diverse culture, that diversity has to reflect in our report. Most of the time we discuss cultures that affect only African people. And we have other people from other races wanting to speak on those cultural issues that they don't understand. But we never know what are their cultural issues that are oppressive to women. One of the examples this morning, there was a talk show on SA Radio that they're discussing Ubuntuana. They're saying there's a difference. I'm not a cultural person, I'm a traditional. Some of the things I don't understand is that I grew up in a township in an urban area, but I try and want to understand some of the traditional issues. They are saying Ubuntuana, there's a difference between Ubuntuana and Fort Mary. But in the discussion, there was no link that the two, being whatever explains the other, has an element of oppressing women, which is the gist of the matter. But none of the people that commented on the issue, others knew absolutely nothing about the issue, but they wanted to talk. But there was never a person who could associate the discussion, the two discussions, the two elements, even if they said there was a difference between the two things. But what I, at the end of the day, the gist is that cultural activity has an element of oppressing women, which we are opposed to any discrimination against women. And there was no maybe commission person to explain that, or somebody from the women ministry to explain what are we talking about when we talk about the oppression of women. Because in culture you have a culture is something that developed out of evolution of society. And that culture is not stagnant. It evolves. So nothing can say that we can't even outline that which are the oppressive cultural issues within the African community, which are the oppressive cultural issues within white communities. I know nothing about what is happening in the white community. But we have a commission that can still interrogate white women. But the only time that we find white women that are oppressed is when there is a case that there is a male case of domestic violence against a white woman and a male person. That's the only time we see cases like those. But we never go and ask white women, what are the cultural issues that oppresses white women? I know nothing about that. I'm a feminist, I fight for women's rights, but I know about my own cultural issues. And I find it absurd that you get a person speaking on my behalf when I did not even approach those people to speak on my behalf. I want them to tell me what are their cultural issues that oppress them. Being Indian, being colored, because I know nothing about their society, but we want to unite this South African nation to make it one. So we will never unite people if we don't know what affects them, what does not affect them. One of the stereotypes that we always misunderstood is when you speak to the next person, when you speak to a white person, you must look at their eyes. In African tradition, when you speak to an older person, you don't look at the thing into their eyes because it's like disrespect. But it is always misunderstood that you don't look at a person's eyes because you there's something that you hide. And these are stereotypes that are not elevating because they misunderstood people. And unfortunately, we have taken our kids and they are taught by people who don't even understand our culture. There's that miscommunication now today that essentially the Western culture is that pure, it has no faults, it has no it, and then we must follow it. You know? So we're not converging with different cultures that have to be elevated and taken out. We're not converging to meet so that we can form one culture that is going to be a South African nation that moves forward. So in all your reports, that's what know what the economic issues that are occurring in it. And as long as we are still vague, we will find it difficult to liberate people, because some people innocently, they don't understand oppression. They think it's the norm. So if you elevate those issues, then people are able to understand. When you go and question private institutions, then these institutions start understanding, oh, we are oppressing women when we do this and that and that and that. Maybe they don't know. I mean, men are used as instruments of oppression. Most of them don't know that they are oppressing women. And then the other issue was so when sending on the same piece of 27, there was an issue of a student, a 22-year-old, 30-year student in Zululand University, where she was mobbed just because she was wearing a short skirt. What's wrong in wearing a short skirt? I don't understand. I think that institution of learning are institution of enlightenment. And 20 years down the line, we have put gender equality into the space of discussion, but we have not liberated the mind of 20-year-olds. It's sad that we have not liberated minds of 20-year-olds. As a woman, as in my middle age as I am, I understand what is gender equality all about. What surprises me is that a 20-year-old does not understand gender equality. It's sad. So where are we going? If we are really conscientizing people. So it shows that the barometer that you're using, you say you're using a gender barometer, I don't know, who are you? Who are you measuring? I was measuring us by that action of a 20-year-old, 20 years down the line. And then the issue of chieftaincy. The chieftaincy issue is not a new thing. It was a Shulubani case in Limpopo when we started. We have a law that protects, that says you are equal before the law. So you have people that are supposed to maintain the law, which are the judges. Maybe this is one committee that we must also call the Justice Committee, Portfolio Committee, and the department, that you have a law. You don't always do it, tell us you align with the law and all that. There is a law that talks about equality of men and women. We don't have to argue about it. Why do we still have to argue about it? If people are not sentenced because of their stereotype or their sentence according to the law. So I'm surprised that judges can supersede the law, that they can go against women because they oppress women. They can just say, despite that there is a law of equality, we will not look at the law. We will use our stereotypes and our myths about women and judge over that. So in the Eastern Cape, there's a saying that women cannot take chieftaincy. They can't rule. It's like, it's a no, despite that we have a law. You know? So it means that these are areas that we must go and target and conscientize and try and show people that cultures are not stagnant. And we as South Africans have agreed that narcissism is a no area. You can't discriminate women. Women have the right to fight for chieftaincy. So if I don't bring a case to you, it means that you cannot at some point engage people. You only engage people when there is a case. So that's the limitation of the commission. I don't understand why you have to engage people when you only have a case. With the second thing, it was not the first issue. You know, there was a march of Minister Baloyi, the former Minister Baloyi, was marked against that. They were not derogating the minister, they were derogating his mother. And the commission said nothing about it. That is why it has to continue subsequent to that, because if you had intervened then, that you are derogating a person, even they have no right to derogate the person that they are fighting against. Why do they have to derogate his mother? And why did the gender commission tackle that in the first place? Now that the Minister of Education has come up with a tendency issue and then it's at that is why I'm saying those that are not reported, even those, you have to say something about it. You have to intervene because you represent, you want to fight against discrimination of women in general, not cases that are reported. And then, yeah, I think I have covered the cultural issues. in Parliament. This thing, in an aeroplane, you can't get pregnant women getting into an aeroplane. There are few who get into the aeroplane. But African women are sex in general. It is something that is a norm. Why are we judged by Western culture? There's nothing that we can do about it. And they go and tell you about medical issues and whatever. People have lived longer with their big bodies and they are happy in it. And this is an African culture. It is an African society. And we need to recognize it. You walk around this park, the outside park, you can't walk in your high heels because the pavement is not walkable. You repair a heel today, when you go off the bus, your heel is just broken because that pavement was meant to walk only made people. It's just like the car. The gears of the car are not meant for heels, to use the heels to drive a car. They are masculine in orientation, and the buildings that we are in, they are also masculine in orientation. So even the chairs that we sit in, they don't accommodate such a women because they have limitations of armchairs. If they were open, they were going to accommodate people that are bigger. And these things are small little things that we never look at. These institutions are no longer male institutions. Parliament was meant to be a boys' club. And that is why you find male toilets everywhere, because it was meant to be a boys' club. They just entertain themselves and decide on the lives of people. And today we are challenging those stereotypes. And these are small little stereotypes that we never look at. The whole of Johannesburg has been but the pavements are not walkable. They are exactly like Parliament pavement. You walk on a wedge, you always have to see. You know, it's just that we never put litigation against a municipality in our country. But if we were really the Americans who always take municipalities to country to court, we would be rich, some of us as women. But because we always think, no, it is our government, we must be patient with it. But these are small little things that I think we must raise it on our behalf. We don't raise them. We try and raise them there and there, but it's not many people who understand what is gender equality. So that is why it is important all the time you have to raise these things, you know, profoundly so that people understand, because it's something that's hidden. It is hidden in such a way that it's difficult to explain it to everyone. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you guys for your beautiful presentation. Though I know very well the document, you can design the document to be very beautiful and design it in a way that you can see, you can assume there's a service deliver in the document. I'm worried because when I read this document and hear your presentation, you are missing a lot in this community. We have a crisis in the government in this Western Africa province, in Western Africa. I'm very worried about that. We have these kids in the ages of 14 years that are on grave land just from last year. They are involved in Dacha, in gangsters, more especially in West Africa. If we cannot take any seriousness about that, we will never have a new generation. We must have something we will quickly see what we should stop that. My appeal and my proposal, Chair, is that this committee must form a partnership with the social service, social development, to quickly Q1 1.6. That paragraph that we sent the ending was 6.8 million. Can you give more clarity around that? Last paragraph. Contingent assets in the form of a receivable is specifically disclosed in the AFF and then followed up with the insurer. How many women, how many men?
The chair of the legal committee is
As a commissioner, I'm a commissioner having oversight from the legal department.
And who are the people in the legal department directly working with the community? We've got two
men and seven women.
And I can't understand how that happened. Don't frown, Sissy. I don't belong to. No. The lady next to you. I'm watching everybody's expression. May I then say to the legal leader? Not commissioner. It's a woman. The seven of you. But I would like to know, is this because it's your own belief that most of the abuse only affects us who were left in the oven for longer hours? Whereas my belief is even if you are left for 3 hours in the oven and so you are self-killed, abuse is across the color line.
7.
I expect to get a clear outcome of the work you've done addressing the ICW. I can clarify that. It's Indian, colored, and white. And some of us, or you want to say CIW, whatever, but it boils down to Indian, colored, and white beside us. I would have actually, and Father Brad, I want this to be included in your table, where you tell me exactly how many Indians have been interviewed around that, bearing in mind the rate of killing. The atrocities that are happening within those groupings are not better than us. A member brought the attention to diversity. And as this week, we expect you people to actually paint a broader picture of these atrocities. It even goes further. I don't know, is it because you're scared of talking about some of our, you know, the things we witness outside there. The worst people exposed to brutality are the people staying in the street. The abuse that goes on there is shocking. And those abuses are actually contributing to trafficking, resulting in sex workers. Not through choice, because they are picked up and they are sexually abused on a daily basis. And it seems as if there's another corner that we haven't touched thus far. Those are my proposals on the table. Might not be answered now, some of these questions, like the last one I've spoken to. But I would love to say to my beautiful ladies in the legal society, make sure you are happy. The last one will be around the princess in the Eastern Cape. Everybody knows that the Sigbao family has always been upheaval because the wrong person took the reins. And the worst thing now is the wife of the wrong king, who is no more. Commissioner, you know the truth. You're from the area. Is demanding everything. Knowingly that they've been on the reins wrongfully. Besides the undermining of a woman, because people will always hide behind the traditional laws, which don't make sense actually when you start deciding. I'm happy I'm from Cambridge. We have chiefs that are women, and they are reigning, and nobody is opposed to them. only have people, I think it's an important issue to say in this system, that when you destroy a people's culture, when you destroy, when you colonize a system, a community of you colonize a society, you destroy everything that they hold on to. And one of the issues is traditional issues that they destroy. So the African way being one of those, that an ordinary person cannot win, that Lord is a because Lord is in the infection in South Africa. And after being damaged, it's also expensive for ordinary. African way has to be won everything. And I was saying to the other guys and everything that I applaud, you know, Indian women, that they refuse, despite that they were options, they refuse to let go of their studies and all that. You get an older woman who still takes her stomach out, which is not a problem. But when you are an African woman being older, it's like an insult that when you chew your stomach out. When it's old, it is not, even in northern cities, it's small dresses like mine being smaller. So that you have a lot of you know, fresh air coming into your body. And that you can't wear because you are compelled to wear the Western style of things. It's just like the law, which is you are forced to do Western law and say everything that we do is against the African way of doing things. I mean, there is no African law that is developed in the internet, despite that we have lawyers that are experts and all that. We always need to do Romanic law and all that and push our people to abide with that. Even with the children's rights, to say that people should not speak to their, in terms of African culture, small kids don't speak out to their older, to their parents and all that. But in terms of Western culture, they just speak out whatever they're having. And we push their parents, but bring up their kids to Western side. All those things are affected through our own way of doing things, our own culture, and we never say anything about it. That is why I say all the good things like wearing a tradition, and when you wear it, everybody says, "Ooh, this thing is beautiful. It is beautiful every day. You can wear it every day. Nobody will see it beautiful. It will be like any normal dress." You see? So, and I'm still saying it can't be normal because ordinary people come in. They are deprived of wearing it because it's expensive for them to wear. It's like this is the buying. It's for the elite. Everything that we do now today is for the elite. It's never for the poor.